podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Blood and Mud podcast. We're 15 minutes late. I've had a ridiculously busy day, and it's the podcast that's going to be busking the fuck out of this tonight. So, today, if you're listening. It might not be tonight. It's tonight for us. It's tonight for people on the live stream. Hello, you've all just joined us. How you doing? And we are here to talk about the weekend and all that kind of stuff. Josh is here, everybody. And I have to say, Josh, that you seem to have I can't think of the right word.
I've slightly relaxed myself.
Yes.
I've got another cold. My voice is not quite gone yet, but it is. This will be a podcast brought to you by Triple Action Throat Lozenges. So,
any kind of thing he rattled off his teeth, that's the lozenge you can hear. And in between that, he'll be a master gushu all the way through. So he'll be very happy with himself. Yeah,
I can't complain about my sonorous baritone, frankly. I just can't.
No, it is. It is lovely. It is genuinely very, very, very lovely. I'm listening to, for those of you, Gav Thomas, friend of the pod, turned me on to, A History of Rock Music in 500 Songs.
Oh, yes. As soon as I saw him post about that, I was just like, this is Lee's absolute...
I jumped straight on it. It's done by a lad called Andrew Hickey, right? He does it all himself. He's a lad from Manchester, and he's supported by Patreon, which I'm really happy for, because the work he puts in is unbelievable. He's up to 170 songs. He started in 2017. There's like liner notes and essays and everything with every episode.
Jesus.
It's remarkable. Really? But if you like a bit of incredibly granular, arcane detail about the history of music, then get yourselves all over it. The other thing I was recommended was the Country Music Podcast, podcast, Cocaine and Rhinestones.
Lovely stuff.
Which is a cracking title. You have to give him that. However, I couldn't listen to it because of the voice and intonation of the host.
Oh, so it was a shame.
It was in 1965 that they decided it was not the way to go. However, that was not going to stop Acuff Rose Records from bringing that on board. Imagine that for 45 minutes. About Chet Atkins.
I mean, no, absolutely not.
Luckily, we've got no such problems on this podcast, Josh. We've got you with the lozenges bouncing off your teeth, huskily, and me just, being northern. So I'm sure that's fine for everybody.
Yeah, no, nobody has ever sort of found that those two combinations of sounds annoying in history.
So... you are basically now into, I think, roughly week 9 of Plague Mansion.
Yes. Yeah. So Noah's been at Childminder for 6 weeks, and that's when it really started getting fun. When he started at Childminders, that was when the illnesses just came. But yeah, I would say like a little bit before then. So yeah, wait, week 9, week 10, maybe. Who knows?
Listeners... and you will maybe remember, my daughter is doing children's nursing at university. Mm-hmm. She's in her first year. And her second placement has been 4 weeks in a private nursery.
Lovely.
Don't know why, as a nurse. I think it's to see what kids are like when they're not ill. So you can have a bit of a benchmark.
That is a good thing to have, I suppose, yeah.
She was well over it by the end of week 2 at the outside.
Yeah.
But she finished the placement last Friday. And Saturday morning, she had an excruciating ear infection and had to go to a walk-in centre. So that's the get. Yeah, this is what nurseries do to people.
Yeah, it's a real fun sort of like biomedical experiment. It's just you get a thing. I catch it, I give it back to him, he mutates it a little bit, he gives it back. It's a fun little merry-go-round, I can't deny.
So basically, That's what's been going on. I literally came in from work at 7:30 tonight, and as you know, those of you on the live stream, it's now 8:20. We started slightly late because I had to eat something before I ran in. I must say, I mean, I don't talk about work much, but I've just been to the launch of my new corporate parenting strategy. There was a lot of presentations by by care leavers. It was very inspiring stuff. I'll say that. Okay, so what have you been up to apart from being ill?
Well, in addition to, because I am a glutton for punishment, in addition to being ill, as a result of being ill, Noah, who was previously an excellent sleeper, like, you know, 10 out of 10, no notes, sleep for 12 hours. Yeah. That's all gone horrendously wrong in the last 6 weeks, to the point where, you know, he was waking up like 7 or 8 times a night, and especially when he was feeling ill, would literally only sleep if either me or Rach was sat in the chair in his room holding him. So, yeah, I've slept in a chair a lot for the last couple of weeks. But so we were like, well, we've got to do something about this. And so we kind of were like, right, we'll start doing the sleep training, not like mad super nanny sleep training, but just like kind of the gentle kind. But that still involves sort of a baby that for, you know, 14 months has been, you know, has got to sleep by sort of having a cuddle and then going down and being asleep when he's put down. It now has to be just put down awake and go, you deal with it, pal.
So learn some resilience or get yourself a job.
Indeed, yeah. That basically our entire weekend was devoted towards the first couple of days.
Was it emotionally draining?
It was extremely.
It sounds like it might have been.
Genuinely, this morning, right? And like, I'm not one to share these sort of things on this podcast very often, but genuinely, this morning, like, he went off the. Like, he's been really good. Like, he was. But like, it was my, like, they say, like, only one parent should do it for the whole sort of like cycle from breakfast through to breakfast the next day at a time or whatever. So like, Rach took him over to the childminders this morning at 8:30. I mean, I was like up with him from 6, having been woken up myriad times in the night with him. And I didn't feel like sad or anything, but I just, like, for no apparent reason, just started crying my fucking eyes out.
Oh, it's a lot.
The sheer emotional, like, thing of it all.
It's a combination of exhaustion and relief. And then guilt at feeling relieved.
It was just a whole smorgasbord. And then I was fine. Like, literally, it was only about 30 seconds. And Rach came back because the childminder's only over the road. She only takes about 2 minutes to drop him off. She came back and she was like, God, you look ill again. And I was like, yeah, I'm ill again. Yeah, that's what it is.
She's like, what the bloody hell's wrong with you?
It's emotional stuff.
We did Gina Ford's Contented Little Baby. I think I've told you this before. Mm. And my entire family thought that we were cruel, torturous, evil people.
Oh, yeah. I've had that conversation with my mother this week. Not quite so much, but, like, she was... They've got some different ideas about parenting that generation.
I'm going to go wake up the baby now. You can't wake your baby up. I can't
watch your baby.
I've been there. I've been that soldier. Fair do to you and Rachel. Tough time for you two as well. So, you know, stick together.
It's a real tough, like, again, I'm oversharing tonight probably because I've had very little sleep in the last 6 weeks. But like she just said to me the other day, she was just like, genuine, I don't know, like, I don't want to seem harsh, but like, I don't feel like I've got any, like, a bit like emotion left to give to you and our relationship. And I was like, I completely agree.
Me too. Like, that's fine. Exactly, we understand that. But we just need to get through this. Yes. No, honestly,
we still like each other. We're not doing it, but it's like, right now we literally have the cup is entirely devoted to somebody else right now. It's a very strange experience if you've kind of been married for 13 years like we have and been quite us focused for most of that time, understandably so, especially bloody pandemic, where we literally only had each other for company for like a year. And now it's just like, yeah, you, like I'm sorry. You are not even, like, second isn't even on the map. It's not even on the course. The starting line isn't even second. It's mad. Parenting, man. Woof.
Tough. It is tough stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and it is. It is the hard, you know, it's a cliche for a reason. It's the fucking hardest job you ever get, and nobody trains you for it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so it's, no, fair play to you. I remember what that's like. And hey, listen, listeners out there, fair play to Josh, because let's be honest, it's amazing he's got the fucking energy to come on here and one tell you this. And this is a big thing for Josh. He's not like me. Yeah. I've told you the operations I've had on my testicles and everything. I'll tell you anything. Josh is not like that. So obviously support the man. And yes, so thank you very much, Josh, for one, for being my friend on here and for still being here, because God knows I can't do this on my own. So
I mean, this is a nice little 2 hour break for me. I'll level with you. Right. This is why I'm not as angry as I used to be. This is relaxing for me now. This is my holiday.
So, hello, everybody. I'm Lee.
Hello.
And over there is...
I'm just about, Josh. Like, just about. I'm right on the edge.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with me at Blood and Mud on the Twitter, or Lee at bloodandmud.com on the email. And what about you, Josh?
At Josh Gardner, or indeed at Rugby Show Watch. Not Rugby Show Watch, right, Mike? I don't know. Who cares?
I don't mind. How does it... We are on the Sports Social Network. We're on wherever you find your podcasts from. I think you all know that by now. Or we're also on patreon.com/ That's all I could come up with at 25 minutes notice.
Yeah.
Obvious, I mean, one. I think I may have even done it before, but it is what it is.
I mean, who on our listenership wouldn't have joined in on that, though? You know?
Exactly. Blood and Mud. I forgot the bit at the end.
Yeah.
Patreon.com / Blood and Mud, where you can come along and get extra stuff. You know the store by now. Facebook group, extra pod posts, extra pods, extra bits of the actual episode every week. All of that, and the warm, fuzzy feeling that you're supporting Josh in what is quite honestly a very difficult time in his life. So...
Yeah, it's you know, it helps. I can't pretend it doesn't help.
It is the preserve of the modern parents to desperately want kids, then moan like fuck about it the whole time afterwards.
Also, your patron dollars go towards paying for the child sleep consultant we've had to get. So, you know,
got a consultant in.
Oh yeah. Belt not it. Like a not like one that God, like lives.
Wasn't that was even a thing when my kids
were literally like. She was like, genuinely, like, one of Rachel's friends was like, and they don't come to your house or anything, but like they will give you a plan, and then they will like call you every day and talk you through it. But like, it was like,
say,
yeah,
they say you can do this. Honestly, you really can. Basically. You can do this. You're doing like, really well.
Her friend was like, it cost £300 and it changed my life. And we were just sat on the couch and we're just like, would you pay £300 to have a good night's sleep? Like, yeah, I paid £3,000 to have a good night's sleep. So, yeah.
Speaking of a good night's sleep, my mum is currently on a cruise ship off the coast of California.
Oh, very nice.
Because I think I've told you the story that she's getting a state pension this year. So it's a treat to herself.
Mm.
She's her and her mate. They've flown to LA. And
oh, yes,
got on
and they're going up the coast.
So they've done the LA to... San Francisco, San Diego, Ensenada, then back to LA, then Vegas, then home. Have you seen the news about the weather in California at the minute?
I mean, I saw that there was quite a lot of snow recently.
Yeah, well, basically, I said, how's LA? No, not really. It's just pissing down and foggy. So I texted her and said, ahoy, how is it? Because she was in LA for a couple of days and she got on board. I said, how is it on board? She said, I didn't sleep a fucking wink because the ship's blasting its fog on all night because it's so foggy. It's like, oh, God. So, well, at least it's free booze, Mum. Just get completely tanked and see what happens.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like, fair play. You've got to do some doing to... like going to California at a time of year where the weather is not at least sunny and warm.
It was apparently it was running down the streets and everything. All the locals are saying we've never done anything like this at all. It's just crazy. So
it's always the way, though, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, yeah. Bless her. She's building up to this for 2 years. I hope the sun comes out at some point. But yeah. So that's it. I did tell her that she was struggling to sleep anyway. I said, "You want to get yourself an American pharmacy? They'll sell you all kinds of mad shit over the counter that you can't get hold of here." Have you seen mouthfuls of stuff in America? Well, the active ingredients about 47%, and Bonjela's active ingredients about 4%, basically over here.
Well, I always remember like the sort of the when I was in California just before the pandemic, like I was ill, and so I went to buy some paracetamol from the grocery store downstairs, and you know, in this country they will sell you 2 packs of paracetamol, that is it, because you know you might do yourself a mischief, literally. Just on the count, like on the aisles of this pharmacy, were like a bottle this big, like full of loose paracetamol. There was literally enough to kill yourself about 6 times over in there, and it was like $4. It's like, wow, they do not give a fuck, these guys.
Yeah, because when I was last over there with my mate, his missus, you know, needs a bit of pain. They lived in America for a bit and she misses the American pain relief thing. So he was basically buying up as much as he could to take back home with him. He was Tylenol and Advil and all that shit and whatever it is.
Yeah, you take your fucking Tylenol, you will sleep tonight.
Yes.
That shit does not mess around. There's no non-drowsy shit around there. God knows what's in it.
Anna S says, "Tell your mum to be careful. Southern Californians cannot drive in the rain."
Oh my God, they really
can. They drive? Can they drive boats in the rain though? Because she's on a boat. So,
I mean,
I have said, can she nip to the Fender factory in Ensenada when she's off the boat and get me something nice? But she didn't seem up for that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's quite an industrial part of Ensenada as well. I think you probably wouldn't get a lot of tourists there.
Have you been to that factory?
I've not been to that factory. No, I've been to the one in
Corona,
but not the.
It's about 10 miles away, isn't it? It's about 10 miles.
Exactly, it's literally
$1,000 a guitar away.
Yeah, it's literally on the other side of the border, but it is. Yeah, I'd love to go there. I'd love to go to Mexico. It's one of those places that is just like, I'm still weirdly, because I've watched too much Narcos, I'm weirdly scared of it. And yeah, I think
that's
amazing.
What they want, though, isn't it? People live there, don't they? So it's like Kingston in Jamaica. Everyone says, "Oh, it's really dangerous." Mm. Yeah, but it's a capital city that people live in. I'm sure they're not all nearly being murdered every day, are they? Do you know what I mean? I'm sure that it's a bit really like if you go to London, if you go knock around the worst bits of Peckham after 10 o'clock at night, that's probably a frightening place to be. But
yeah, have you ever? I remember when Splott was rough. Come on, it's like everywhere's getting gentrified now. Surely. Yeah.
Anyway, shall we begin? Anyway. Patreon.com/bloodandmud, where you can do all of that. And you can send them in. Anyway, no. We begin as we always begin, with a player spotted, don't we?
I'd like to thank
Ross. That's the only name he gave me. As a patron message service, he sent this one in, because he's a lovely patron. So you can also get in touch with us via patron message service if you're a patron, like Ross. He says, "Hello, Lee." He actually apologised for not responding to my message I sent him about 3 years ago. He didn't have to do that. He said, "I've got a player spotted for you anyway," says Ross. "The summer before last, just after lockdown ended, my grandparents went to their friend's grandchild's wedding. They were having a lovely time when they met a towering figure belonging to a family friend of the soon-to-be-wed couple and Scottish international lock Grant Gilchrist, who was with at the time, pregnant wife." So it's a wedding at the Grant Gilchrist. Right. "They were both nice and friendly, and said Mr. Gilchrist, chatting to my grandparents about recovering from his injury and his hopes of the upcoming Autumn Internationals. He was, however, rather outshone at the wedding by another Gilchristian guest, his father, who, to quote my granny, was fair up for a song and dance."
Fair play.
"His song of choice at that wedding reception was 'I Want to Be Like You' from The Jungle Book. He did sing others, but I have only seen the recording of that one."
I mean, fair play.
Hopefully this is mundane enough. And again, sorry for not responding to you. It doesn't matter about that, Ross. So let me get this straight. Grant Gilchrist was spotted at a wedding. But the additional detail is it was Grant Gilchrist's father who was singing I Want to Be Like You from the Jungle Book.
I mean, it's an irrelevant detail that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah. I mean, was this on karaoke or was it just an a cappella like leading the room type thing?
Was this in the bar afterwards? Like, you know, was it all out in the smoking area? If so, I mean, mad props to Grant Gilchrist's dad.
Is his dad as big as him?
Oof, that's a question.
Give
him
the full King Louis moves when he's about 6'8".
This is the detail that we need, frankly.
We do, because it's really, to be honest, it's not mundane at all at the minute.
No, it's not. So this is, you know, this borderline is interesting.
So there you go. So a sort of player's father spotted, I think by proxy, on a video to do with someone else. Yes, it was Ross's grandparents were at a wedding with Grant Gilchrist, who then showed a video of Grant Gilchrist's dad doing I Want a Bit. This could be even too fucking convoluted even for us, this one.
Jesus, like, this is like fucking Inception.
Four levels of Gilchrist, yes.
Yes, the seventh circle of Gilchrist is where it all goes wrong. Johnny Ball says every bar's a karaoke bar if you try hard enough.
I've certainly demonstrated that many times in my life. Yes. I remember singing Trial at the Tenderness very loudly in Dempsey's in Cardiff when it was still Dempsey's. And it was the middle of the afternoon. I've been drinking since 10 AM. It was a bad do, really.
Yeah. You probably haven't, what with you, you know, not drinking, but Dempsey, since it's become Gareth Bale's bar, just is a very depressing place.
No, I can imagine exactly what that's like. Yeah.
It's literally taken, you know, one of Cardiff's most personality rich pubs and replaced it with the most like mundane corporate sports bar you could possibly imagine. It's awful.
Ben Russell says, helpfully, Jock Gilchrist, Grant's dad, was a real character. I got that, yeah. Played rugby for Alloa with my dad. He had many stories about him. Jock was a massive tight head in the 80s.
Yes. See. I was just trying to Google him, see if I could see a photo of him, but there's loads of Jock Gilchrists, apparently. Who'd have thunk?
So, anyway, Ross, thank you for that convoluted player spotted that wasn't even really a player spotted because you didn't spot them.
No.
Unless your grandparents listen to this podcast, which I highly doubt. But I do recommend that more grandparents listen to this podcast, to be honest.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. Let's get the nanas in.
The horrible thing is that, please God, it won't happen. But I'm old enough for my kids. My kids are old enough to have kids now. So I could be a granddad doing a podcast. That can't happen. I'm going to have to call it a day then.
Some people that I went to school with are grandparents.
Oh, we've all got them.
Yeah.
Yes, we've all got them. Yeah.
It blows my tiny mind. It really does.
Well, you think about it, my nan was 21 when she had me mum, and my mum was 18 when she had me. So my nan was a nan at 38, going on 39.
Fair play.
Frickening.
Times change, eh? For some people, anyway.
So, thank you very much, Ross. If you've got a player spotted you'd like to send in, you can do it leeatbloodandmud.com. You can do it on the DMs on Twitter because mine are open. And you can also do it on the Patreon messaging service if you're a patron. And if you're not, get your arse in gear. Get to patreon.com/bloodandmud and just, you know, just click a couple of things. It'll all probably autofill because you've been paying for stuff on your phone already. It'll be dead easy. A couple of clicks.
And you can just double click on the home button and then you'll be fine. You just pay for it.
Exactly. Shall we move on to some news, Josh?
I think we probably should, yeah.
Of which, because of my lack of prep, I'm going to have to jump across to like pages of the news on now because I normally have this nicely listed for myself. Do you want to make a start then?
Yes. So Stuart Hogg and Finn Russell are out of Scotland's finest game. Final game? Finest game? Might be their finest game. They'll both miss the Italy game on Saturday.
Can Blake Kinghorn play fullback and number 10 all at the same time?
I mean, we'll find, surely this is Ben Healy's time now.
It's got to be, yeah.
Yeah. Josh Bayliss and Charlie Savala have been called into the squad to replace Stuart Hogg and Finn Russell, which, to be honest with you, is definitely not a like-for-like replacement. The Finn Russell is the worrying one because he obviously had his knee heavily strapped in that game he played last week for Racing and on Saturday. And
he limped off on that leg quite pronounced.
He limped off on that leg, and there's talk that it is a knee ligament injury, which we don't know the severity of yet. The talk is that it might not be. It's probably going to end his club season, but he should be all right for the World Cup, which I guess is all that really matters at this point, doesn't it?
Johnny Ball says, going back and sort, my granddad got me into rugby, moved in with us over lockdown, and I thought showing him this podcast would be entertaining. It did not work for his Presbyterian sensibilities. That is the new strap line for this podcast.
Not compatible with Presbyterian
sensibilities.
Welcome
to the Blood and Mud Rugby podcast, the podcast that is not compatible with Presbyterian sensibilities. Meanwhile, back in the news, Jack Nowell is off to La Rochelle, apparently, according to reports.
A weird one. Like, can you imagine a sort of two wings of more different levels of flamboyance than Teddy Thomas and Jack Nowell? That's what Rory Nagara wants, apparently. So good. I mean, why not? Like, he is exactly the sort of like extremely hardworking, unflashy kind of player that you feel like is kind of Rory Nagara's id in a lot of ways, you know? Like, he was that guy. He was unflussy and, you know, solid and dependable and never really, you know, got much credit for being a skillful player, all that sort of stuff. It could work.
You got any more
it
news?
Could also be a disaster. Fucking loads, mate. Dimes is now Edinburgh head coach.
Oh, yes.
Which is because apparently, like, they tried not having a borderline psychopath, bald Englishman as their head coach for like 18 months. And it sort of worked, but they decided that they liked the old way better. So
point of order, Dimes was a back row, but I take your point.
Oh, yeah, he's a back row, isn't he? He just looks like he should have been a front row.
Yes, he absolutely looks like that. But yeah, he was a back row when back in the days, a back row could look like him. They don't look like that anymore. Yeah,
he wouldn't even be a hooker these days. It's just a really interesting, like, especially because, you know, Mike Blair was supposed to be sticking around till the end of the season, and then Dimes has just got, no, I'll start now, actually. And and so Mike Blair is now Edinburgh attack coach again.
You're looking forward to the three random Russians you're about to sign, Edinburgh, for reasons nobody can quite explain.
Although apparently, because Dimes has come in, Dimes is official title at Edinburgh, because of course he couldn't just come in and be head coach and director of rugby or anything like that. His head coach is his title is lead rugby consultant, which is one of the worst like titles I can possibly think about. Lead rugby consultant.
It doesn't, to be fair to me, it doesn't even seem like the kind of bloke who'd want that title either. So it's slightly random, isn't it?
No, but it's the sort of thing that he could basically just be like, if everything's working, then he can take credit for it, and if things aren't working, then he can sack someone. It's that kind of job, isn't it? All the glory, none of the actual work.
All joking aside, right? And God knows you can joke about Dimes enough, can't you?
Yes.
And all joking about, you know, sales constantly finishing sixth and all of that kind of stuff. He's a bloody good coach.
He is.
And he's a really decent appointment. Whether he fits with Edinburgh, we'll find out, I guess. But, yeah.
No, I completely agree. Apparently, because they can't have too many cast-offs from elsewhere, Edinburgh are targeting Lee Blackett as coming in as head choice. Coach.
It was that the other week. The ambition to go for Lee Blackett. I don't really understand what that word means.
Look, he's literally just kind of minding the bins at the Scarlets at the moment.
Yeah, seems like a nice enough bloke.
Absolutely. And a good coach, clearly. He's the Scarlets have turned around quite dramatically since he turned up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Dimes. Like, and also, like, Lee Blackett seems like such a, like, a really nice bloke. Like, he would never give you, like, a bollocking. So, like, there's going to be a real, like, good cop, bad cop energy there with, like, Mike Blair, who's clearly lovely.
Sam Mice is sweepy on who's got in the wood chipper first. Well, I'm waiting to see which one of the Scottish media contingent he obviously makes his enemy within the first fortnight. That's what I'm waiting for.
Jeez. Who is the poor fucking Sam Peters of this?
Like him.
Particular stop.
Like Jack Charlton with Eamon Dunphy on his first press conference as Ireland coach of the football. Dunphy asked him a question, said, and Jack Charlton said, "I know you. Do you want to go outside and settle this?" More news? Any more news?
Italian rugby news. Three little bits of news.
Well, yes, go on. What a week it's been.
Mackay Fekitoa signed for Benetton, which, I mean, there's a lot of money. I don't know how much money Montpellier paid Benetton to buy Garbisi out of this contract. But there's a lot of money sloshing around that club at the moment. Like, they've signed Andy Urin, and they bought Andy Urin out of his contract at Bristol and offered him a life-changing amount of contract for Andy fucking Urin. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, a life-changing contract for Andy Urin is probably not that much, but, like,
you can upgrade from a Corsa now, Andy.
But, you know, they've still had money in the bank to sign bloody Mackay Fekitoa. A genuine All Black / Tonga international now.
He's in that mad. Wonderful bit of his career now, Fekitoa. He can just wander around collecting massive checks for putting in, at best, lackluster to middling performances, can't he?
Yeah, so he's done a full Charles Piatow in that he has decided to try for the exact amount of period of time that it takes him to secure a new contract. So Fekitoa was brilliant for Munster against the Ospreys last month and the Scarlets. And now, after having been genuinely one of the worst players in the entire IRC for most of this season, and now that he's signed for Benetton, it's just like, well, I mean, is he going to carry on being good or nah? So, well, I guess we'll see. But a mad one. Jake Pledry's going to Zebre, which feels like he should be going somewhere better than Zebre.
But you can't help thinking that the injury thing is just taking suit of the way.
Maybe it's taken its toll a bit too much. Yeah. And people probably don't want to roll the dice. Italian rugby is probably has got a lot more invested in Jake Pledry coming good than, like, yes, a Premiership club or an IRC club does, because he could still
shame
be a very
for Gloucester
important
though, because everyone was talking about how it's like having a new signing, wasn't it? And then it's just
indeed
rotten luck for him again, isn't it?
Yeah, he's really, like, you've got a feel for him. And then the weirdest one is that Manfredi Albanese, who's the Italian under 20 scrum half, who's been a big part of why the Italian under 20s team has become so good in the last couple of years, has decided he's going to retire at 21 at the end of the season because he wants to focus on his degree in economics and management studies.
I know nothing about Italian name culture, right? But having Manfredi as your first name just screams posh to me.
Manfredi Albert, he looks posh as well, to be fair. Like, he looks like a lad that's...
The Manfredi family in Lancashire, Italian immigrant, were the ice cream family in my part of Lancashire, the Manfredis. Mm-hmm. They had all the ice cream vans. One of their offspring, Dominic Manfredi, signed for Wigan and played a few games for Wigan. But yeah, I don't know why, but somehow having it as a first name sounds posh. But obviously the Manfredis in Lancashire weren't posh. They had ice cream vans, you know what I mean? But they're the Sodolis of Lancashire.
Indeed. So Manfredi picked up 3 caps for Italy last year as well in the summer tour. So he, you know, it's not like he was, you know, not going to get some game time anytime soon. It's just a really weird one and a big loss for Italian rugby. Like,
so Johnny Bot says maybe he was worried he'd be stuck behind Varney forever.
Well, therein lies the... It's like, surely Kieran Crowley hasn't gone, I'm sorry, mate, Stephen Varney's just too good. You haven't got a hope of unseating him.
You've been waiting a long time behind this lad, let me tell you.
Stephen Varney is really not that good. Yes.
Harley Williams makes a good point, actually. It could be that Italian rugby decided to take Zebra more seriously and fund them a bit more and give them a bit more money, like Benetton. It could be that,
But that doesn't explain Fekitoa going to Benetton.
No, it doesn't. Ollie Lawrence is injured.
Yes, yeah, he's done his AMI.
Which means that obviously what's going to happen now? The great saviour that is Manu Tuilagi will come back.
Can you imagine how badly it's going to set English rugby back if they start Manu Tuilagi at 12 and they somehow beat Ireland? How comprehensively that is going to set.
Oh, dearie me.
That'll set English rugby back for years, literal years. But, you know, from my point of view, that would be hilarious. So... I say let it happen, see what happens.
What else we got? Anything else?
The Lions will have some incredibly dangerous fixtures in 2025. So the Australian Rugby Union wants them to play a combined Pacific Islands All-Star 15. So that's going to knock out roughly 2/3 of the squad. Then they also want... them to play a combined Anzac team, which, while very fun as a concept...
tour games, though, aren't they? Let's be honest.
I'm genuinely really excited about this. Not only is it going to be an Anzac team, but the ARU are actively encouraging NRL players to hop over codes for the game. And basically have a trial for the Anzac squad. So anybody in the NRL who fancies having a pop at the British and Irish...
Oh, this just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Welcome to camp and see how many heads they can take off.
Jesus Christ.
That squad is literally going to be every single qualified player in Britain and Ireland is going to have to be in that squad. Because they're going to literally just take heads off.
Yes.
But I can't wait. I'm already excited for Pacific Island All-Stars because that's going to be amazing.
Yep.
Throw in Anzac team laced with NRL players who don't understand that you can't just fucking smash them in the face anymore. I'm so excited. It's going to be great.
The number of hammies that are going to go in that just in the warm up to that game.
Yeah, I was going to say a number of tight calves that are going to be found in the captain's run.
The number of business decisions are going to be made as the third run from the massive fucking NRL second rower coming at it.
Forget about the geography 6. It's going to be the geography 60. 2 full squads coming purely to be fucking fed into the wood chipper that is those 2 games.
Oh, I'll tell you what a
really
thing to look
excited.
Forward to, that
I'm
is.
Really, it's almost World All-Star Game level exciting. It's not quite there, obviously, yet. We've still got to get there.
Speaking of giant, exciting things, Emmanuel Miafu has been called into the France squad for this week.
Yes.
Just for a fucking daft laugh, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, he's not qualified till the summer, but I guess it's like a fun sort of portent of a terrifyingly massive thing to come for anybody playing France in the near future. Just to sort of, like, just go look at him. Look at the fucking size of this guy.
So when they're like, you know, when they've beaten Wales by 60 points, they can go, see, we could have brought him on.
Yeah.
It could have been worse. You could have dealt with that.
This was happening in 2 months' time. David Jenkins would have to try and tackle him.
Yeah, 65 minutes. That's what you'd have been dealing with. Yeah.
And also, presumably, it's a way of going, oi, Eddie, no.
Back off. No. Yeah. Anything else on the news, Tom Bowler, this evening?
World Rugby is encouraging all of its member unions to trial a belly tackle rule for amateur rugby, which is clearly they've learned a little bit of the lesson from the clusterfuck of England's rollout. By they're now couching it in language people can understand, hopefully. But yes, the very notion that this can be resisted by, you know, complaining to your, you know, the board or whatever at this point is increasingly fanciful. Like, it's cut. The tackle height is coming down dramatically. It's going to happen to everyone. Whether you want to call it the belly or the waist is purely academic. In the grand scheme of things, you will not be tackling people ball and all in amateur rugby very soon. So I think it's probably best to just get used to that now.
Indeed. Anything else on the weekend at all?
No.
We're rattling through it, aren't we, today?
We are, yeah.
No, sorry, that was any news. We're going to go into the weekend now. I'm getting myself all mixed up.
It shows how sort of on brief I am. I wasn't even listening. I was just saying, you know, I was just in it.
So that was the news. Mm. And we're going to go into the weekend now, which means that we say goodbye to the non-patron people while we talk about the three dazzlingly lovely games. Speak to you in a bit. Bye. Mm. Right, we've gone on for fucking ages. Right now, and we've still got to do a few things. So that's the end of the weekend. And so we welcome back our non-patrons a long time after they went away. Just got a quick reminder for everybody. We've still got the Fans O League going. It's the last week coming up. I predicted every single score wrong this week. I've done a fucking blinder. But if you still want to join, then you can go to the Fanzo app and click on the Guinness Pint Predictor and you can use the code Blood and Mud to join our league. Because even though the league's kind of over now, really, are you still in the top 10, Josh, you shit? You're on mute, so you're going to have to tell me without mute being on.
Sorry. No, I've done that. I also got every single result wrong this weekend and I've gone down to 25th. From fifth.
Oh my word! I was 180. I'm not even looking. It's too frightening.
Respectable still. I'll take being 25 out of however many hundred people are in our league. 296. You know, it's top 1%. That's all.
So you can still join because one, it's, you know, you can pick a score and it's a laugh to do that. And two, you got a chance to win some Guinness or to give to either drink yourself or to give to somebody else. So come along and do that. Quick predictions then for this weekend, Josh, before we move on to the shit good to finish. Scotland will play Italy at 12:30 on Saturday.
I would say Scotland by 14.
I would say Scotland by 17. France will play Wales.
I will say France by 25.
I will say France by 19. And then Ireland will play England. I think Ireland will win by 9.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be as comprehensive as some people think it is. I was going to say Ireland by 10.
I don't think England could be that bad again, but I do think Ireland are a considerably better rugby team playing at home at the minute.
So
that's that for Fanzo. So come along, join that if you want to. That's the Guinness Pint Predictor. Use the code Blood and Mud to join the league and do some predictions. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Right, should we do some shit good to finish? See, I normally pull all this together into a nice list I can read, but because, as I said at the beginning, I'm so far fucking behind today that I'm just going to have to scroll through and read things here. So I don't know if you've got anything that you want to talk about for shit to start with.
I mean, I've had a lovely weekend. I haven't got any shits. And we've also talked about my shits, which were Freddie Stewart and Wales's centres defending, missing like 15, like, I think it was, they missed like 7 tackles between them. 12 tackles between them, which is not good. Really not good.
Ryan Pinfold says that shit is the amount of people saying that what happened to Ringrose is a result of high waist tackles and not a poor technique. Yes, it's
Jesus.
Yeah. Every time this happens now, it's going to be like this, isn't it?
I know. It's infuriating, isn't it?
Simon Clark says shit is Stephen Jones on the Rook podcast. Is his answer to how England improve against Ireland next week, select Tuolangi and Billy Vunipola. There is no obvious answer to the eight, though. I will defend the man yet on that one, because Don Brad isn't looking like the answer, is he? And who else is there?
Simmons,
Vunipola.
Yeah.
Do you put one of the Ben Currys Morgan. At eight? Put one of the Currys. Ben Morgan. Yes, get Ben Morgan back in there. What's Tom Waldron doing?
He's only retiring at the end of the season, Ben Morgan. He is still available until then. So just fucking get him in there. Yeah? He's only 34. I would stick Tom Curry at eight again, if I'm honest.
Ollie White says shit is being a St. Helens fan these past 2 weeks. Not for me.
That's part of my good. Yeah.
I've managed to get, some people in the Facebook group to support Lee in a strange way.
Nice.
Poor buggers.
Johnny Ball says, is Nathan Hughes for Gian again? I mean, even if he is, I don't think anyone's interested. But
Don Brown says, shit is people on social media make me believe that England had a chance just to watch that performance. Yeah. Well, I predict England to win by 4 because I thought France had been misfiring a bit. England were feeling a little bit better.
I thought in the rain, England might sort of squeak a sort of ugly game, and France just absolutely decided that was not going to be the case.
Edward Morland says, shit is England pack's repeated now inability to maintain even a hint of parity when facing the best packs in the world. We're likely never going to Monterrey or France, but we have to be able to hold up better than that. Yeah, and there's flashes of the scrum doing all right, isn't there? And then it's but it's not just the set piece is one thing. It's everything else. It's it'd be bad, man.
It is bad.
Should we move on
Is the long-term answer, what's his face, Alfie Barbary?
According to everyone, he's the Joe Cole of rugby, isn't he? Everyone's known about him since he was 14. And he's meant to come and solve everything. So, Oshin says that shit is Italy getting zero change out of the ref. Not looking for an advantage, but some of the 50-50 calls going their way may have made a game of it. Well, they kept a bloke on the field for 10 minutes, he only got 10 minutes up, but he should have been off for a lot fucking longer than that. So,
yeah, indeed. And also, I think you kind of create a self-fulfilling issue situation when you start losing your rag with the ref as early as Lamaro did with the ref on Saturday. Because you're not going to get anything out of a ref if you start basically just fucking moaning at them constantly. And it'll be a learning experience for him, I think.
Have you got any good?
The completely away from everything that we've talked about today. Not only the fact that the Crusaders are 0-2 in Super Rugby so far this season, which is just a great endorsement of Scott Robertson's impending All Blacks job, but also they lost in the last second in added time actually to the Drua in Fiji on Saturday morning.
What scenes?
Just a fantastic, incredible scenes. It was wonderful for Fijian rugby, wonderful for Super Rugby, terrible for the Crusaders. Basically, everyone wins. It was great.
Yes, indeed. Sorry, I'm trying to do something. Hugo Gordon says that good is Gabby Logan mentioning the controversy over SAU's conduct regarding Siobhan Cattigan.
Yeah.
Kind of thing that presenters often avoid speaking on. And also the fact there is actually something done for her, finally. Mm. Albeit not, again, not what he'd probably done for a bloke, let's be honest.
No.
Even with everything else that was going on. What else have we got that's good? Evan Quick says, good is Italy. Okay. Even though they produced their worst performance of the tournament so far, some of the play they produced was a joy to watch, especially the phases which led to the Brex knock-on. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in a way, that's what's infuriating about it, isn't it? Because it's all there.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the consistency and the execution, really.
And the question is, like, there is, you know, is it, it's amazing when it works, but is it replicatable with enough consistency to be a sensible game plan for an international team? I don't know, to be really honest. But it is fucking fun when it does work. Jesus.
Jack Hurst says, good as we can now move on from the Smith-Farrell debate, which was incredibly dull and repetitive pre-match. Like there wasn't a whole of a French team to talk about, and now we can accept that George Ford is the future. Yes, Jack. I've already made that point earlier.
No, it's okay.
Completely agree with you. What other goods have we got? Somebody's pointed out a good, which is friend of the pod, Patricia Vieira's tweet today, which says either they're very lucky that they're playing a tier two nation next week. Otherwise, a number of injuries coming out of this game will be very, very concerning. Very droll.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
What else have we got here? See, I know we've all this prepared. I'm just seeing terrible. David Williams, who's a long-term listener. Hello, David. Zoology David says, good as the atmosphere at Stadio Olimpico. So loud you had to shout to be heard as both sets of fans went for it. And with remarkably few dickheads.
Yeah.
Nice. That'll do. I'm exhausted now. It's been a long old
me
day.
Me too, mate. Knackers. I want to go to bed.
Thank you, Josh, for showing up in your weakened state.
My pleasure.
A bit like England, do you know what I mean? Thanks for showing up, even though you know it was going to be, you know, difficult. Thanks to everybody who's listening. Very good turnout on the live chat tonight.
Indeed.
The live and lots of chit-chat out there. So thank you, everybody. It makes for a very entertaining hour to a couple of hours while we can have a read of what you're saying. Thanks for joining us on a, you know, an evening when there's much better things on catch-up telly you could be watching, I'm sure.
True. So, 100% true.
I'm not here next week. I will be in Fuerteventura.
Very nice.
So you're going to have to sort something out because I'm not going to.
I am actually, and I haven't yet. So usually
you have had other things on your plate, like tissues, it sounds like.
It's true, tissues and cough sweets.
And we will...
Somebody's going to have to come on next week just to, you know, to vamp when I'm having a coughing fit. So,
Well, if that's a criteria, you have a think about that. And,
I will.
See, you can pick up because I said I will be... Not drinking, but I'll be having a lovely time, probably drinking some mocktail of some description.
Enjoy. It sounds very fun.
Thanks, everybody. We'll speak to you all soon, and no doubt you'll have an Ireland Grand Slam to talk about, I imagine.
Probably will, yeah.
Speak to you in a bit, everybody. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.